All right, so let's say you're getting ready for this big meeting on corporate liability, and you really want to make sure you understand all the ins and outs, all the little details, especially in industries where public safety is so important. Well, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to do a deep dive into a landmark case, United States v. Dodderwike. It's a Supreme Court decision that has really shaped how we think about responsibility inside companies, and it's really relevant even today.
Yeah, it's amazing how this case, it goes all the way back to the 1940s, but it's still so important to corporate law.
I know, it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, let's set the scene here. We've got the Buffalo Pharmaceutical Company. They're a drug jobber, and they're basically doing what seems like pretty normal business,
Yeah.
buying drugs, repackaging them, and then shipping them out with their own label on it.
Yeah, that's pretty standard practice even today.
Totally.
But in this case, things took a turn, a pretty big turn.
Yeah, you could say that it was a real twist. So the company and their president and general manager, this guy Joseph Dodderwike, they got hit with charges for shipping drugs that were adulterated and misbranded. And that's a violation of the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act from back in 1938. Pretty serious stuff when you think about public health.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the kicker. The jury actually found Dodderwhite guilty on all counts, but get this, they acquitted the company.
Whoa, hold on. How is that even possible? How can they hold a person responsible when the company itself gets off the hook? So this whole thing obviously started a huge legal battle that went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And believe me, the implications are massive for anyone who's involved in corporate governance.
Yeah, the Supreme Court had a real tough question to answer here. Could a corporate officer be held criminally responsible for violations that happened at their company, even if they didn't know about the wrongdoing? It really makes you think about individual responsibility, especially in the context of these big, complicated organizations.
Yeah, so we're talking about accountability going way beyond just intent.
Yeah.
It wasn't even about whether Dodderwhite personally knew about those mislabeled drugs. It was about the position of authority he had and his responsibility to make sure the company was following the rules.
Exactly. And the majority opinion from the Supreme Court really surprised some people with this one. Justice Frankfurter, he wrote the opinion, and he really emphasized that the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act is all about protecting the public. It's what they call a public welfare statute.
I see. So in this case, that means making sure drugs are safe and properly labeled. It makes you think about all the other laws out there designed to protect the public. I wonder how many of them could be interpreted this way.
That's a really good point. So the court applied this thing called strict liability. It basically means it didn't matter if Dodderwick intended to break the rules or even knew about the violations. What mattered was that he was in a position to prevent them. They came up with this responsible share test, and it all hinges on an officer's authority and their ability to influence how things work in the company.
Okay, so basically, if you're in a position of power, you're responsible for preventing harm, even if you don't know about a specific problem, especially when it comes to public safety.
Right. Think of it as a way to protect consumers. The court was saying that in big organizations, somebody has to be held accountable even if they didn't personally commit a crime.
Makes sense. There's got to be some checks and balances. This reminds me of something I read in the opinion. They said penalties as effective means of regulation. That's a pretty powerful statement.
Yeah, for sure. The court realized that holding individuals accountable, especially people in charge, it actually encourages companies to follow the rules and prevents problems before they even happen.
Interesting. So it's like a deterrent. It makes companies think twice and prioritize safety right from the start.
Exactly.
So this whole idea really turns the traditional mens rea on its head. That whole guilty mind thing that's usually so important in criminal law. But I'm guessing not everyone was thrilled with this decision, right?
Oh, you're absolutely right. There was a dissenting opinion written by Justice Murphy, and he argued that the law didn't specifically say that corporate officers were the target. He was worried about due process. Is it fair to punish someone who didn't know they were doing something wrong?
Yeah, that's a good point, especially when you think about how complex these big companies are. I mean, it's totally possible that an executive could have no idea about a specific violation happening somewhere down the line.
Exactly. And the dissent also argued that when Congress wrote the law, they didn't specifically say that officers should be held liable in these cases. That lack of clarity was a big problem for them.
It seems like the dissenting opinion is pointing out a tension that we still deal with today. How do we balance public safety with protecting the rights of individuals, especially within these big corporations.
Yeah, that's a crucial tension to think about, especially since Dodderwhite laid the groundwork for what we call the responsible corporate officer doctrine. And this doctrine has had a huge impact on all kinds of industries, from pharmaceuticals to environmental protection to consumer safety.
It's incredible how one case from way back then can still have such a huge impact today. Really makes you realize that saying, "I didn't know," probably isn't going to cut it as a defense, especially when people's safety is on the line.
It's a powerful takeaway for sure. And we're going to keep unpacking all of this as we go deeper into this landmark case and what it really means.
Okay, so we've seen that Dodderwhite really changed things up, but let's try to see it from Dodderwhite's side for a minute. The court said he was responsible for what the company did, even though he wasn't directly involved.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it, to really get why the court made that decision. We got to think about what was going on back then. Pharmaceutical regulations were kind of a new thing. The Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act came about because of some really tragic incidents, you know, where unsafe drugs caused a lot of harm.
Oh, yeah, like that elixir sulfonylamide tragedy back in 37, when that poorly made drug led to over 100 deaths, and a lot of them were children.
Exactly. That was a huge wake-up call for everyone. It pushed Congress to pass the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, and that gave the FDA a lot more power to regulate drug safety and labeling.
So after all those tragedies, the court was basically drawing a line in the sand.
Yeah.
They were like, look, we're not going to wait for another disaster to happen before we hold people accountable.
Right, and that's where that responsible share test comes in.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that in big companies, it's not always easy to pinpoint who's to blame for something. But they said someone at the top has to be responsible for making sure the company's following the law.
Especially laws that protect the public. It's almost like they were saying ignorance is not an excuse, particularly when people's lives could be at risk.
That's a good way to put it. The court was wrestling with this big question. How do you stop something bad from happening again when you've got these corporations where it's hard to figure out who's responsible for what?
And their solution was hold the leaders responsible, even if they weren't the ones who directly did something wrong. It seems like they were trying to encourage companies to prioritize safety at every level.
Yeah, that's the key point here. It's not just about punishing someone after the fact. It's about getting companies to do things the right way from the start. Imagine if no one could be held accountable no matter what their position was.
It'd be chaos, right? Companies could do whatever they wanted and public safety would be at risk.
Exactly. Because of Dodderwhite, companies had to take a hard look at themselves. Their procedures, their internal controls, how they handled compliance.
They had to create a culture of responsibility.
But the dissenting opinion makes a really good point, too. What about being fair to individuals? Is it really fair to punish someone who might not have known what was going on?
That's what we have to keep in mind as we think about what this doctrine really means in practice.
And that's exactly where we're headed next as we keep going with this deep dive. Because Dodderwhite might have set a precedent, but things are always changing in the legal world. We need to see how that responsible corporate officer doctrine has been used and refined in other cases since then.
So we've talked about how Dodderwhite really shook things up in the corporate world, you know, with that responsible corporate officer doctrine and all those questions about fairness and accountability. But how has it actually worked in the real world? It can't be easy figuring out where personal responsibility starts and ends when you've got these huge companies.
You're right. It's definitely not a clear-cut issue. Dodderwhite brought up a ton of legal and ethical questions, and courts have been trying to figure them out ever since.
Like how to balance protecting the public with making sure things are fair for people inside those big organizations.
Exactly. And in some of the cases that came after Dodderwhite, they tried to fine-tune that standard a bit. They started looking for what they called a responsible relationship to the actual violation.
So it's not just about being high up in the company. It's about whether someone's role and responsibilities were directly connected to what went wrong.
Right. They started looking closer at what the officer's actual duties were, how much control they had, and whether they could have actually stopped or fixed the violation.
It's not just a general idea of responsibility anymore. It's more about figuring out if a specific person should be held accountable. This makes me wonder about how this whole doctrine works in different industries. We've talked about pharmaceuticals, but what about things like environmental protection or workplace safety?
Yeah, the responsible corporate officer doctrine has been a big deal in those areas too. Like there's this case, United States v. Park. It was about a CEO who was held responsible for some really unsanitary conditions in a food warehouse.
Even though he didn't know about the rats. I think I remember reading about that one.
Yeah, exactly. That case really solidified the idea that you could be held liable even if you didn't know about the problem, especially when public health and safety are involved.
So it all comes down to whether you have the power to prevent something bad from happening, whether you meant to do it or not.
And it's not just about avoiding criminal charges either. This whole doctrine has really changed how companies operate. They've started putting more compliance programs in place, doing audits, and trying to create a culture where employees feel like they can speak up if something's wrong.
It's almost like Dodderwhite forced companies to start thinking ahead and preventing problems instead of just reacting to them.
That's a great way to put it, but there's a flip side to all of this too. Does it create an environment where everyone's scared? And companies go overboard with compliance? Could it actually discourage people from becoming leaders because they're afraid of getting in trouble for something they didn't even know about?
Those are some important questions, for sure. It seems like finding the right balance is really tough. How do you protect the public, but also make sure individuals are treated fairly?
That's the challenge, isn't it? And that's where ethics and good corporate governance come in. It's about being transparent, taking responsibility, and communicating openly. Compliance shouldn't just be a chore. It should be part of the company's DNA.
So for our listener who's getting ready for that big meeting on corporate liability, Dodderwhite is a pretty clear reminder that I didn't know isn't going to be enough.
Right. They need to be proactive.
Yeah.
Understand how their company works and make sure everyone's on board with doing things the right way.
This deep dive into United States v. Dodderwhite has been really eye-opening. It's amazing how relevant a case from the 1940s still is. It really makes you think about corporate responsibility and individual accountability in a whole new light.
And it definitely leaves us with a lot to think about. Does the responsible corporate officer doctrine really strike the right balance? How can we create a system that encourages ethical behavior and compliance without stopping innovation or scaring off potential leaders?
Those are great questions, and I think they're worth thinking about carefully. Thanks for walking us through this complex and impactful case. It's been great.
My pleasure.
And for our listeners, keep exploring what Dodderwhite really means. Think about how it applies to your work, your industry, and the whole landscape of corporate governance today.